Well, good morning. It's lovely to be with you again today. And those of you who logged in right at the beginning there, sorry about the little mishap with the microphone. Left it on, forgot to switch it off. And but yeah, so it's great to be with you down here, streaming from the Chalkstone this morning, which is really exciting, isn't it? And it's lovely to be down here. And so a special welcome to those of you who are watching us at the live stream in the hall just behind me. Great to have you with us. There's only a few folks here this week, but it's lovely to have you here. And just to say, if you would like to join us next week, then you know there are spaces. You don't have to be that you can't get access to the internet. It's just so that we'll give priority to those who can't get on the internet. But you know, it's welcome if you'd like to join us next week. Please do, won't you? And there is plenty of space. Just let us know by Wednesday so we can get the seating sorted. Brilliant. Okay, and a special welcome to you today. If you're joining us for the first time, I hope you feel welcomed as best we can over the internet like this, and that trust that you enjoy being with us, and that you just also encounter Jesus as we meet together. So let's just pray, shall we? Heavenly Father, thank you for this morning. Thank you for an opportunity, Lord, just to be together online and to seek your presence and to connect with each other in this way. And so I pray this morning, Father, that Lord, you would bless us in every sense of the word, Lord, and that Lord, we'd somehow or another, Lord Jesus, be a little bit more in love with you by the time we finish this morning, and we'd know how to serve you a little bit more effectively. We love you, God. We think you're amazing. And in every home and every place that somebody's watching this morning, let them know and sense your presence. Okay, well, one of the things we can't do at the moment is sing out loud when we're together. So, but you can, if wherever you are, of course, you can sing to your heart's content. And so let me just play our first worship song this morning. And, you know, just be blessed and worship God with all that you have.
Song we could ever sing, worthy of all the praise we could ever bring, worthy of every breath we could ever breathe, we live for you. Jesus, the name above every other name. Jesus, the only one who could ever save. Worthy of every breath we could ever breathe, we live for you. Show me who you are and feel.
That's brilliant. Awesome. Thank you, Tom and Nicola. And it's just great, isn't it, just to be able to let them lead us in worship together. Okay, just I'll share a few thoughts in just a moment, but just before I do, there's a few notices that we've got this morning. You might have seen on the notices at the beginning there that in a couple of weeks' time we're going to be starting prayer walking. Alex and Bill have been working on this for a little while, and so from 2 till 4 on the 11th of October there's going to be some prayer walking. I believe that we're going to start from the chalk stone, and just believe that it's really a good season. We might not be able to gather to pray in quite the same way that we normally do, but I think it's a really good opportunity for us to just to walk in pairs, or you know, with people that we are able to you know, mix with in this season, and just pray for the blessing of God over our community. That's the heart of what we want to do, be praying for the blessing of God and for the life and the activity of God in our community. Great. Okay, and then let me just get my other little notices up. Well, just to say as well, you know, you're hearing a lot in the news as well about Christmas being cancelled. Let's not give way to that, shall we, as well? Just been thinking about this the last couple of days, and we were talking as a team the other day about planning forward in Christmas and what have you. What we really want to do is to do something prophetic and be a blessing to our community. You know, we know in the same way that we've not been, you know, we've had to adapt to suit what's happening around us, we'll do the same with Christmas, won't we? Let's keep positive minded about that. And so a week Thursday, I'll advertise it in the email this week. We're just going to pray together as well in the evening and just ask God if there's some specific sort of prophetic type things that we can do as a community to just bless one another, bless our community, and share the love of Jesus in Christmas season. So do be praying about that, won't you? And be just thinking about how can you be a blessing over Christmas. We can sit back and moan that things are not going to be as they normally are, or we can choose to dig into Christ, find something positive, and bring some good out of the situation we find ourselves in, can't we? So let's just apply that to this whole Christmas thinking as well. And then Henry's got a little notice that he's asked if we could play this morning. So
years ago, back in 2000, I actually had, I believe I had a vision from God, which was about restoring the walls of Haverhill. Obviously, it's based on Nehemiah 2:17, which speaks about restoring the walls of Jerusalem. But for me, I knew exactly what that was. It was about restoring family lives, restoring you know, marriages, you know, just being involved in family life, and obviously restoring people's relationship ultimately with God. You probably know, or if you've been around River of Life, you'll know that I took some time off in March, April, May, a bit of a sabbatical, and a time to rest, a time to refresh, and a time to renew. And that's exactly what happened. It also coincided with lockdown, so I had no choice but to stay at home. And God really spoke to me about reconnecting with that vision from Nehemiah 2:17. And as I pondered this a little bit more, as I looked at this, I actually thought to myself, have we actually completed the task that God gave us to do, or God gave me to do? And I actually come to the conclusion that there are many, many gaps in the walls. And so what I would like to do is I'd like to invite you along to a meeting on the 7th of October. It's going to be an online meeting. There'll be details on the River of Life Facebook page. Come along and, you know, just I'll do a little bit of a presentation, maybe 10 minutes or something like that. But I really want to open it up where we can actually look at some of the issues that are facing many of the people here in Haverhill, because there are many lives which are broken, and we've got a fantastic opportunity. You know, in many respects, you could say we've got lots of restrictions, but instead, you know, we have a fantastic opportunity to reach many more people's lives. And so, like I say, I'd love to invite you along to explore this a little bit further, maybe to pray, maybe to, you know, just to hear other people's hearts about restoring people's lives in and around Haverhill. Because do you know what? God is really interested in the people, and his work isn't done yet. And this is, you know, an amazing opportunity that we have right now in making a difference to the people around us. So check out the Facebook page on River Life Facebook page, 7th of October. around about 7:30 p.m. That's church time, isn't it? And there again, we'll explore this a little bit further. Thank you very much, and look forward to discussing this and looking a little bit deeper into this further then. Thank you.
Brilliant. Thank you, Henry. That's great. Awesome. So if you can join in with that, that would be fantastic. And just one other notice. You may or may not know that it's our very own David Howell's birthday today. So happy birthday to you, Dave. I could sing you happy birthday. Well, happy birthday to you. That's enough, really. You don't want me to sing happy birthday to you. But yeah, just drop Dave a text or something today. Just wish him happy birthday. We won't ask him how old he is, will we, Dave? But have a really great day, mate, won't you? And I hope you got some things lined up for today. So happy birthday, Dave. Brilliant. Great. Okay, so just I'm going to share a few thoughts with you now. I've recorded the message, so I recorded it this week at home. So hope this is a blessing to you. Just hoping that we can dig in and think about how we can be the best version of church in this season that we can possibly be. And so we thought last week, didn't we, a little bit about how we get church by being a Jesus-shaped people. And I'm going to share over the next few weeks just a few things that can help us to stay on course with being a Jesus-shaped church. So I hope this is a blessing to you. Great.
I don't know about you, but I find Peter one of the most intriguing characters in the Gospels. I take a lot of heart from him, really. He seemed to have this knack, didn't he, Peter, of being able to sort of like just open his mouth and put both feet in, you know? I mean, sometimes he got it amazingly right, didn't he? Sometimes he just got, wow, Pete, you got that, man, you know? But on other occasions, he just seems to say the wrong thing. And I started speaking last week about Matthew 16. You know, Matthew 16 at the beginning there, Peter really gets it right, doesn't he? He really gets it right. He Jesus asked, who did people say I am? And he says, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus says, blessed are you, Peter. This was not revealed to you by flesh and blood, but by the Father in heaven. And you can almost imagine Peter going home that night to his wife and saying, well, you know, hey, Jesus said, I got it right, you know, today. And it was revealed to me by the Father in heaven himself, you know. And he got it, you know. And then, very quickly, actually Matthew 16 through to 18, or Matthew 16 and 17 is really interesting in terms of Peter and the things that he says. And so then, immediately after that, we get this account in which Peter, Jesus begins to teach his disciples. It's almost as though Jesus can, now that they understand who he is, and they understand that he is the Christ, the Son of the living God, and they've really got that. He's now free to tell them about what is going to happen. You see, it's in the context of a revelation of who Jesus is that the cross could become explicit. Yeah. The cross wouldn't really make much sense, I guess, really, or been even harder to embrace if Jesus had started with the cross and then explained who he was. But now they knew who he was. And so he starts to talk to them about how he's going to have to be, how he's going to have to suffer, how he's going to die, and how he's going to rise from the dead. And Peter takes him to one side. You can almost just imagine him. Hey, boys, I don't know what the Lord's talking about, but some of this stuff, you know, it's just don't seem right to me, you know. He's talking, you know, a public figure surely is meant to get out there, you know, and take the world by storm. And Jesus, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. You know, get out there, build your army, do what you got to do, you know. We're with you, Jesus. Stop all this nonsense about dying and coming back from the dead. You know, we don't want you coming back from the dead. We want you here and now with us, you know. And somehow, you know, all that's, you can almost imagine him saying to the boys, listen, I, you know, the other apostles, that is. I hope I'm okay calling the other apostles the boys. I guess it was a little bit of a boys' team, wasn't it? You know, although Jesus was very radical in his inclusion of women into that team as well. And we're told that, you know, it was actually the women that kept the purse and made the thing financially work. So let's be a little bit careful with that thinking. But you know, you just imagine him talking to his mates and saying, you know, to the other apostles, saying, I'm going to just have a little word with the Jesus about this nonsense of dying and, you know, and suffering and resurrection, because our kingdom come. And he takes Jesus to one side and says to him, Lord, may this never be. And I guess he's waiting for Jesus to say to him, oh, yeah, you've got that from Father again, and I'll ease off. And Jesus' response is to turn to him and say, get behind me, Satan. Whoa! I wonder what Peter felt like when Jesus said that to him. And so Jesus says to him, get behind me, Satan. You do not have in mind the things of God, but the things of men. And then Jesus uses it as an opportunity to teach some things. Let me just open my Bible and read to you what he said in that context from Matthew chapter 16. I hope it's okay me talking to you from my lounge here today again. I felt like standing up again, and I thought, well, you've sent me kitchen, then let me talk from my lounge now. And I hope the recording comes out okay. So, Matthew chapter 16. So from that time on, Jesus began to explain to the disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things at the hand of the elders, the chief priests and the teachers of the law, and that he must be killed and on the third day be raised to life. And Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. Imagine rebuking the Lord. My goodness. I bet later on in life he thought about that moment and thought, oh my goodness, why did I rebuke Jesus? Oh my goodness. Never, Lord, he said, this shall never happen to you. Jesus turned and said to Peter, get behind me, Satan. You are a stumbling block to me. You do not have in mind the things of God, but the things of men. In other words, Peter, at this moment in time, because of your selfish approach to the world, your self-centeredness, if you like, you're allowing yourself to be drawn into the sphere of thinking that the devil wants you to be in. That sphere which doesn't embrace sacrifice, doesn't embrace servanthood. And so then Jesus said to his disciples, he doesn't just talk to Peter, he now brings this out. Let this issue's festering here. Look, we've got to get to grips with this, all of you. Then Jesus says to his disciples, if anyone would come after me, he must deny himself, take up his cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for me will find it. What good would it be for a man if he gains the whole world yet forfeits his soul? Or what can a man give in exchange for his soul? For the Son of Man is going to come in his Father's glory with his angels, and then he will reward each according to what he has done. I tell you the truth, some who are standing here will not taste death before they see the Son of Man coming in his glory. See, Jesus now takes it beyond his own sacrifice and says, in actual fact, if you want to be my disciples, you're going to have a sacrificial attitude to life as well. You're going to have to be servants as well. You know, we see elsewhere Jesus teaching about if you want to be the greatest, you've got to be the least. And in teaching the importance of servanthood and sacrifice. And we'll come back to just digging into that in just a moment. But the point I want to get here today, last week we talked about how do we get church. We get church by knowing who Jesus is. We can damage church by not being people who are servant-hearted. When we allow our own selfishness to take over, when we allow our own wants to become dominant, rather than the expressed design and will and purpose and mission of God. And I've been thinking about that in our current context. What does that look like? Now, I appreciate this is, you know, these are complex issues and what have you, but for me, I think I've been quite disturbed by some of the rhetoric that I've heard in certain quarters of the Christian world, the evangelical Christian world even, you know, of, you know, it's my right to sing out loud. Is it? You know, somehow or another that, you know, I want to go and be with lots of other people. That there's, you know, even dressing that up in the framework of calling it religious persecution. Is it? Really? is it? Now, of course, these are just my opinions, but chew them and think about them, won't you? Because I saw a great little tweet this week from the Archbishop of Canterbury and Justin Welby. And he said something along the lines, actually, I probably should just find it. Give me a second, I'll find it. Yeah, sorry, got it. This is what he said. Wearing a mask is loving your neighbour. Keeping your distance is loving your neighbour. Washing your hands is loving your neighbour. Let's keep loving our neighbours. Of course, that's contextual. It's in our current season and what have you. But it did just make me think, as I was thinking about this message, you know, is an expression of servanthood at the moment more about saying that I value your health, so therefore I'll do all that I can to help you to remain healthy? Surely that's an expression of servanthood in itself. So obviously it's a big subject. We could talk a lot about servanthood and what it looks like and how we do it and all that sort of stuff. But really, I just wanted to touch on this thought. You know, I touched last week on how we get church. And in this season, we will have church if we have a revelation of Christ. And if we are passionate about wanting to know him and know more of him and understand him better, we will become a more effective church. No matter, you know, we don't have to worry about all the techniques and the gatherings and all, you know, as much as we want to, all those things are important. The primary thing that will get us to that place is a greater revelation of Christ and knowing him more. The first thing that Matthew then seems to present to us as something that will undermine that is if we don't have a servant heart and a servant attitude, if we're not prepared to take up our cross to follow Christ. That's just as an aside, it's interesting to notice that Jesus then immediately talks about how he will come again and they'll see him and we'll see him in his glory. And so he gives us a motivation for that. He's saying that, you know, it's not all doom and gloom. It's not all hardship, because having worked through the servanthood in this life, there is a reward to come, which is this incredible glory that we will see him in and we'll be part of in the future. Glory for me is just the true nature of things. In other words, in the kingdom to come, in, you know, if we live out in this world and get through our servanthood in this world, there is another kingdom to come that will be the true essence of life and what it was always meant to be, and where there is fullness of joy and abundance of life, and wow, it'll be off the chart, you know. So there's a motivation to have to sacrifice. We find it a bit easier to sacrifice, don't we, if we know there's a light at the end of the tunnel when Jesus gives us that. But what does servanthood look like for us in this time? Where can you see your desire? Where can you see, you know, the vehicle to get away from servanthood is living in self, living in selfishness, living in our own wants and desires. And that goes right back to the Garden of Eden, where Adam and Eve eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And I think that is what that was about saying we want to define ourselves. We want to rule ourselves. We want to define what's good for us, rather than living in the selflessness of God and the example of God. Where is that taking over in our lives? And where can we stand back from it? What does servanthood look like for you on a daily basis? What does it look like for me? And really, that's what I'd like to ask today is, do you sense anywhere in your life where servanthood is being attacked? And is there any sense in which you can talk to God this week and say, God, where am I letting selfishness take over? And where do I need to become more servant-hearted? Let me finish with these amazing words from Philippians that describe the servant-hearted nature of this Jesus that we serve. You know the passage I'm going to read, don't you? Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus, who, being in the very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man. He humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God highly exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Let's be this Jesus-shaped church, shall we? Let's be a church that is prepared to take up our cross and follow him and to do what is needed to show the love of Christ and the power of Christ and to connect people with what he looks like and who he is. Lord bless you. Great week. Yeah, God bless.
Right. I hope that was helpful. I'm just going to pray and then we'll worship together in a beautiful song about the name of Jesus. And as we're thinking about servanthood and being best version of ourselves in Christ, just let that worship song just embrace our hearts and take us to the right place. So Father, we thank you. We thank you, God, that you don't ask us to do that which you are not prepared to do yourself. And Lord, thank you that your church is, in one sense, firstly, one of the distinctives of your church is that we are to be a community that is more mindful of the needs of others than just of our own needs, Lord. That we are to be those that engage with the world in which we live. And so, Lord, I pray for you to speak to each one of us now as we worship together in Jesus' name.
Nothing compares to this.
I love that song. I don't know about you, but I just love encountering Jesus in that song. So thank you, Tom, Nicola and Gary, for leading us in that this morning. Well, let's just off the back of that, break bread together, shall we? And, you know, thinking you might want to have in your mind that passage that I read from Philippians 2, that, you know, the great servant leader that Jesus is, the one who gave his all for us and was prepared to, you know, take on the nature of a slave, a servant, in this life for our good. And so when we break bread together, what do we do? Well, the scripture says this to us: "For I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night that he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me.' For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." I'm just going to invite us to just have a few moments in silence and reflection. You might want to think about why you appreciate Christ and how grateful you are for what he has offered you and given you in salvation. Maybe that you've never met this Jesus and something in you is stirring towards him. And as we do this, take this time to break bread, just sit and think about him and ask him to come into your life and to talk to you and to reveal himself to you. Maybe that you've had a rough week and you feel like you haven't been your best version of yourself in Christ. Well, as we break bread, we're reminded that whatever we've done, there is forgiveness. There is acceptance from the God of heaven. And that if we confess the things that we have done wrong, our sins, he is faithful and just, and he will forgive us all unrighteousness. He will forgive us and bring us back to a better place. So let's pause and just in a few moments, reflect for a few moments, shall we, and talk to God on our own. So let's take the bread, shall we, remembering that it was his body broken for us. Take the juice, the wine, whatever you're drinking, and celebrate or remember with gratitude the blood that was shed on our behalf. Let's pray together, shall we? Remind you as well, if you've got prayer requests you'd like, just post on the feed. We'll pick them up and pray for them during the week as well. But let's just pray together now. Lord, if there was no cross, if there was no resurrection, there would be no hope. But there was a cross, and there was a resurrection, and there is an eternal life to come, and there is a kingdom to come that we are able to pray and ask you to bring into this reality now. We are able to pray, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And so, Lord, I pray today, Lord, that Lord, more of your power and your hope and your goodness will invade the lives which we live at this time. Lord, of course, we are all praying, God, that this pandemic will stop. We want to pray that there will be vaccines discovered. We want to pray, Lord, that we're able to gather together again, that we're able to be with all our loved ones and friends as much as we're able. Of course, we are praying for that, God. We are praying desperately, Lord, that this awful season will stop. But if it doesn't, God, we want to pray that somehow or another we bring your kingdom, we bring your hope, we bring your life into every situation that we find around us, Lord. Lord, in particular in our town and our community, as your people, we want to be, Lord, an expression of your love and of your hope. We want to be a blessing, God. And Lord, we want to pray for those in our nation, Lord. It would be so easy to criticize. There's so many different things, the reason to do that. But Lord, we want to pray instead that Lord, those who make choices would somehow or another find guidance from you. And Lord, we want to pray, God, that, you know, that on our, if for anybody that is, you know, finding they have the virus or loved ones that are really sick, that God, we look for your healing, God. And Lord, I pray for each one of us, Lord, that are tuned in right now, God, that you will give each one of us an opportunity this week in some way to be a blessing to somebody else. We love you, Jesus, and we love the fact that you give us hope. Amen. Please do remember to pray, won't you, for friends and family, but pray for anybody that you see, you know, that has a need. Pray for our brothers and sisters in other countries as well, won't you, who are really struggling with financial income and that and the like at this time. Let's just remember them as well, shall we, in a do. So this week, I trust that the Lord will bless you in whatever you're doing. And let's just think, you know, and pray about being, you know, sacrificial in the ways that we can to be servant-hearted people. We're going to go over and have a coffee on Zoom in a minute, just, and please feel free to join us. I'll leave the slide up for a little while so you got the login details at the end there. It'd be lovely to join with us. And if you're struggling for conversation, why not just, you know, discuss between yourselves, you know, where can we be a greater blessing in our community or in wherever we are, with our friends and family, you know, in our situations, wherever we are, how can we be a greater blessing right now? And how can we express that servant-hearted love of God wherever we are? You might want to talk about that in your groups. If you've got lots of other things to chat about, that's fine. But if you're struggling for things to talk about, you might want to chat about those things. And if you're struggling this moment, if you find you're feeling a little bit down, reach out, won't you? Reach out to somebody. Just tell them. Just say, hey, would you mind praying for me at the moment? If you don't want to talk about it, that's fine. You can say, I don't really want to go into it, but can you just pray for me? Sometimes just that process of reaching out and talking to another person is all we need for a little bit of a pick-me-up, a little bit of a tonic, and somehow or another we find we get some joy back in our lives. So God bless you. Lord bless you in all that you do. May God make his face shine upon you wherever you are this week. Great to be with you. God bless. Hope to see you over on Zoom in just a moment. Sorry, it seems like the Zoom thing's not there. I'll bring it up and put it on the feed. Okay, the picture's not there, sorry.